have a very special guest with us this morning, and it all happened extremely quick. It all happened over a Facebook message that I found out her son was getting married. She was coming from Minnesota and going down to Rockford. And I just put on there, you know you have to go through Madison, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Then that all started an entire conversation. And I just want to say a couple things. You have been on the mission field for how long?
I grew up there.
You grew up. So pretty much all your entire life. Your father... Oh, my Lord. I hope you get the chance to tell us a little bit about your dad. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I would love to. Her father, how many people, when your father went home to be with heaven, I saw the photos. I was not able to go, but I saw the photos. It was unreal. They had the heads of state there. How many people was estimated to be there?
Oh, in the stadium, it was a weekday, so people couldn't really come.
Mm-hmm.
But it was about
18,000. About 18,000 in a weekday. A weekday, you know, just a small group of people got together to honor. Yeah, it was all over national television there in, he served mainly in the Congo. Is that correct? In the Congo. And so you want to talk about a missionary changing their area. When heads of state show up to your funeral, you might have done something. And so you've been on the mission field your entire life, and I've only heard stories from Pastor Lynn and Pastor Mack of some of the things that have gone through and from other people, and it just dumbfounds me. And so it's such an honor to have you here this morning. Your son is with us, Philip Rood and Aaron. Is that correct? I wanted to make sure I had your name as well. You just say hey. All right, they're here with us. They're from Minneapolis, Minnesota. She only gives birth to geniuses, so Philip... he is amazing. He started Rapzilla, right? Rapzilla, which was the first Christian hip-hop, an organization to put Christian hip-hop together, and it's made him a millionaire, bless God. All right, so y'all, if you sing, he loves when rappers go up to him and give him CDs and things. I know. And we have, how many rappers do we have in the church? Look at all. Oh, yeah. Can't forget about White Cracker in the back. That's actually her name. That's her name. That's her rap name. And so maybe you can meet with her afterwards. So would you please give a warm welcome to Lilian Rood?
It is amazing to be here. I just met your pastor today. I've heard so much about him. He was like a big brother to my sons before they were married, and he gave them a lot of advice on how to choose a mate. And coming down for the wedding, one of the twins got married yesterday to a missionary kid. She was born in Philippines. But anyways, the other twin was telling me, driving down, about TL. And he was saying, you know what? He's the one that really most impressed us. When we traveled with Dad in the U.S. visiting different churches, he said, we didn't even preach in his church, but he treated us like amazing people, like we were so important. And they were really touched by that. I am not going to be emotional today. So that's very, very precious. And, these few words, a few times you spend with them, and this is my first time here. I never met him. I spoke to him on the phone. He was back in Nice. Tu parles encore le français? Oui? Voilà. Il a été à Nice, en France. Il parle encore le français. Gloire à Dieu. So God is good, and I knew of him. I knew how great he was, but I've never met him. And now his dear wife, and his, of course I knew the mother. But so it's really amazing, and I'm so glad that Philip and Aaron got to come. Wow, this is, you got a preacher here. It's like, oh my, you just want to preach. Woo! This is good. I love this church. You have an amazing church. Hallelujah. What freedom and the praise and worship, you know, very, very good. Where's the keyboard player? But, oh my, it was fantastic. And the voices, you know, that's the atmosphere we need to come into the presence of God. And you're so blessed here in Madison, Wisconsin. I think this is a big football day today, so I'm going to rush it. Hallelujah. We're from Minnesota. And our church is from Minnesota, so glory to God. My pastor is Pastor Mac Hammond. And, you know, so we're going to go with the flow this morning. And I have many things in my heart, and I'll share some of the things. And It's good to know, you know, I come from missionary parents. My dad was born on the mission field in Africa, in Gabon. So you'll look in your map or Google it in Gabon, the heart of Africa, French speaking. My grandparents left Switzerland in 1930, and my aunt was born there, and then my dad in 1932. And in the jungles of Africa, a dear minister of us, Billy Brim, friend of ours that would call him the monkey man, because he has stories about how God used him. But today, I'll give a title for this message or this sharing time, and it is about doing his will and not our will. And this is something I've learned with my parents. My mother is 86 years old. She's still in the Congo. And it is about doing his will and not our will. You know, nowadays we hear a lot about what I want to do, what my heart's desire, my dreams. And don't get it wrong, but don't take me wrong, but it is good to have dreams, yes. But you see, we have to be ready nowadays to be the glorious church, to lay aside our dreams, to lay aside our desires. This is the old timers. This is what they taught us. And to give it to God and do only what God wants to do. So I didn't have prepared my notes, but everything is here. Well, a few things are here that I jotted down. And I don't know how to make this that it's not going to turn off every time, but whatever. I'm not high tech. My boys are. So glory to God. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, so I'm going to share a few verses, and I'll go with this. Now, you know, in this is one thing that's so important, Romans 8:14. It says that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And so, Father, right now we come to you and I dedicate this time to you. Thank you for blessing this church. Thank you for blessing the people here and for multiplication to come unto them in Jesus' name. Thank you for this church is of you. This church is your dream and your destiny for this city. Thank you, Father, for the harvest to come in. Thank you, Father, for we prepare ourselves. And Father, right now I ask you to speak through me. Anoint the words, to give me the words to speak that will meet everyone's needs here, not for my glory, but Father, for your glory, for your harvest to advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And you know, I have five sons, amazing sons, and Philip is the oldest. And, you know, when the children graduate from high school, we hear a lot of this. Oh, what do you want to do? What are you going to do? And my boys, being in Brussels, they grew up in Brussels. We were there for 24 years as pastors. And the people in the church would say, oh, what do you want to do when you're grown up? And, you know, it dawned on me. I started telling them, you know, it's not about what you want to do. It's about what God wants to do, wants you to do. It's not about what I think you should do. And us parents, we do have some opinions about what our children should do. But it's about what God tells you to do. And yes, amen, dreams and desires are there. But you see, we have to follow God. And there is a measure that there's a part of being having to lay down our life, you know. We need to learn from other people that have done exploits with God. Now, I'm not just talking about missionaries or preachers or ministers. I'm talking about Christians that have done exploits for God, that have made discoveries, that have been used of God to do great things. We have to search these stories and be inspired and find out what God wants us to do. And so our last son, Jonathan, he's 19. He just graduated from high school in Minnesota. It was his first American school and Christian school. And that was a blessing of God. But he needed to know what he was going to do. And I remember the whole year I was there, people would ask him, and everybody that was graduating knew which college they would go to. We're going to this university and that, and that's a big thing, you know. And this is what I told my boys. I said, you know what? Find out. Learn to be led by the Spirit of God, because it is about pleasing Him and not pleasing your desires. So you're going to have to learn how to be led by the Spirit, especially if you want to get married. You better know, because you better ask God, because He knows the future. You know, there are too many divorces today. And you know what? It's not either your fault, or maybe it is. I don't know. But one thing is, God knows the future. And we cannot take our future lightly. Therefore, we have to develop a relationship with God. We have to develop a relationship with His Word in order to say, Lord, not my will, but your will. It is a mature Christian that says, God, I would like to do this. I would like to become a doctor. I would like to go to Africa, or maybe I would like to go to Europe. But not my will, but your will be done. See, if you don't know what God's will is for your life, just say, Lord, I'd like to do this. Or I really, really, this is my dream. But I will lay it aside on the altar, and I will say, Lord, it's okay. I will do your will. You know, it's a life of sacrifice. And this is something I learned from my parents. They lived a life of sacrifice. But then you heard how my dad went to heaven after he was gone. He never wanted to have such a funeral. Oh my, no way. He did not want that. He was such a humble man. And you'll meet him one day. But I'm telling you, he was a humble man. I didn't see many of those that everything was about the call. Everything was about the importance of obeying the call. He lived it. He always said, you know what? I would love to do this. I would love to go hunt, but I don't have time. Says, this is what he said for himself, okay? There is no time. There is no time. The time is short. It's about eternity. He says, in eternity, not that you'll hunt in heaven, I don't know, but in eternity I will do this. And he would say, oh, my dream is to play saxophone. He always said that. I'm like, saxophone? Who wants to play? It was his dream. And you know what he would say? I'll do it in heaven. I mean, this is what I grew up hearing. So, you see, this is what we need to hear. Not that these things are not of God and not for us to enjoy, but there are priorities to follow. We have to give it to God. You see, this is a life of sacrifice. We don't like to generally hear that word, but what is sacrifice? Sacrifice is to say, well, God, not my will, but your will. What does that mean? Well, it will hurt you a little bit. You know, it will hurt to say, oh, God, I really, really desire this, and it's been my dream, but I will lay it aside. It's kind of like when you give an offering. You know, I've put money aside one day, I mean, a few years ago, for a hutch. I loved hutch, and, you know, where you put your dishes or whatever, and these old big hutches, you know. And I was putting money aside, and then one day, you know, we teach the people to give and to give offerings, and we had the opportunity to give to a school in the Congo. And I remember I got the kids together, and I said, you know what, this is what we're going to do, because I taught them this way. I said, this is what we're going to do. My dream is to buy this hutch, but I don't have enough money. It's not going to cover the hutch I really desire. And it was about 3,000 euros or something, you know. And I said, I didn't have enough. So what we're going to do, we're going to give it to God. So we did. And I said, it's okay. If I don't have the hutch, and it hurts. You see, a little bit of hurt is not much, but it did hurt because that was my dream to have. It was so important for me to have a nice house and beautiful decoration house the way I liked it. And I know God desires for me to have the best. But it was laying it aside and giving it to God was a bit of a sacrifice. Not much, but a little bit. This is the kind of sacrifice I'm talking about. That it hurt a little bit because it was my dream. Yeah, it's okay. Lay it aside. Give it to God. So we did. And I'm telling you what, not even 4 weeks, I got everything back. I got a hutch full of Port Marion dishes. I don't know if you know Port Marion dishes. Yes, I know. Okay. Full of it. Lamp shades, lamp stands, the whole thing that my style, everything was given to me. An old pine oval table, antique for you guys for sure, but antique for Europe. Bunches of things I can't even remember was given back to me. Now, I gave it because I knew I couldn't buy it with that money, and I thought, you know, let's give it to God. Of course, I didn't give it to say, oh, well, I'm going to return. No, I just put it aside. But know that when there is a life of sacrifice, oh, my God is not going to forget you. He is not going to forget. So what am I saying? Be led of the Spirit on how to give. Be led of the Spirit on what to lay aside. Always say, Lord, it's okay. I don't need to do this. You know, we were in Brussels for 24 years, and we had a farmhouse, a beautiful farmhouse that we rented. We never owned a house so far, but it's okay. It's a, you know, we're just here on earth passing by. You can own a house. We never did. My parents never did. Either way, we need to be led by the Spirit. And so I never wanted to leave that house. It was an amazing house with an inner court, very Belgian, with a gate, a side gate. It was amazing. And God really blessed us with this house, and for the 5 kids, it was great. And I told the Lord, I said, I never want to leave this place. I loved it, but I knew what to say. I said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I knew that one day, I always knew that I would end up my race in the Congo. And right now it's happening. I'm going to the Congo in October. And for how long? Until Jesus comes back. Now, why? It's because it's not my will to be done, but his will. It's a life of sacrifice that we lay every day. It is a prayer that we do every day. You remember Jesus in Luke? I'll have it in French here. And I'll read it in French. Okay. Luke 22, verse 42. Père, si tu voulais, éloignez de moi cette coupe, toutefois que ma volonté ne se fasse pas, mais la tienne. Father, if you desire to take this cup away from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus was our example. You see, yes, Jesus says, God says yes to our desires, but it's his desire first, his example. Yes, God says yes to our dreams, but what did Jesus do? Lord, not my will, but your will. Okay, his sacrifice was greater than what we have to sacrifice. It is nothing to compare with. He gave his life for us, so we can follow that example. It is a daily thing. It is a daily prayer that we need to do. Lord, I'd like to do this. I don't know if you remember the old timers. They would pray their prayer, and they would end it with, if it be thy will. Well, when we know the will of God, we don't need to say that. But when we do not know the will of God, that means the Bible doesn't say you're going to take that job and you're going to live in that house and you're going to marry that person and your kids are going to go there. No, it doesn't say that. This is when you say, Lord, not my will, but your will. My mother had to do this when she was a young girl. She was in her 20s and she had a call of God, an amazing call. She was in, she's Dutch. My mother's Dutch, a real Dutch, you know. And she was born there. I was born in Holland too. But my mother speaks French with a Dutch accent and speaks also English with a Dutch accent. So she had a call of God. She was Dutch and did not know French. And she knew of 6 years of preparation. And back in the days, I'm talking about the 50s, you know, a young woman to go to the heart of Africa, there's no internet. They did not know what was in the heart of Africa. And she was called. And so she got from God 6 years of preparation in French Equatorial Africa. So she had to learn French. She went, like you, in the south of France, she went to Montauban. Montauban, that means you will have a southern French accent. And so she went there and became a nanny to learn French. And there She told the Lord, she said, Lord, I know I'm called, but I need to tell people around me that I'm called, and so I need confirmation. Not that we're led by confirmation, but we're led by the Spirit of God bearing witness with our heart, okay? Therefore, we need to develop our heart to know how to listen to the Spirit of God. And so she had that Sunday morning, she was learning French, you know, and she went to this Assembly of God of France church. And the preacher, the pastor said, you know, as I was praying today, my mother said, Lord, have the preacher speak about the mantle of Elijah coming on Elisha. That's it. And so that's what happened. The pastor goes on the pulpit and says, you know, I was praying this morning and the Lord told me to change my message to the mantle of Elijah because somebody here is called into the ministry. Well, at the end of the service, my mother goes to him and says, oh, it's me. It was for me that you had that. And he was disappointed because it was a young woman. It was not a young man. You see, the days that she lived in. But you know what? That was a confirmation for her. And many things happened. It was amazing. She has an amazing story. And it happened 6 years later. She was in the airplane in Paris, France, going to Gabon. She had a hard time leaving because she was taking care of her old parents. And she told the Lord, Lord, I'm taking care of my parents. How can I leave them? And this is what Jesus said. Who do you love more, me or them? And my mother said, Lord, I will follow you. And so she was on the airplane to the day, the hour, and the seconds. It was exactly when the plane was taking off. 6 years of preparation. And so she took off and went to the heart of jungles of Africa. And she went to this mission station. Back then, they had mission stations. You know, missions change. There's always a different change. Back then, they had to have mission stations because they did not know how to approach the Africans. There was a lot of sicknesses. And when you read Rhys Howell's book, he talks about he had gone to the Congo and they had mission stations. It's very interesting. And so I can say a lot about that. But anyways, my mother went to the Congo there and she was prepared of God. She's an amazing woman. But you see, when she was younger, when the war started in Europe, she was, I think, maybe 13 or something like this. She went door to door with baskets, knock on the doors and ask for food and for bread. On her own, her mother didn't tell her to do that. And she went to the train station, and waiting for the trains to come in the docks. She passed by the Gestapo soldiers, the Germans. And then the train stopped, and she gave food to the prisoners. All these prisoners came from Holland. They were going in Zwolle, they were passing in Zwolle, that's my mother's city, to go east to Germany. Found out they were going to concentration camps. A lot of Jewish people and a lot of prisoners were to send them off to work. But anyways, she was that type of woman. And when they hid some Jews in their home, one day my grandfather took my mother with him on bicycle to bring those Jewish people on their bicycles to another place because he knew she was not afraid. And if he took her, it wouldn't be so suspicious because she was a young girl. It was okay. And so it's amazing how I look back and I see how my mother was prepared of God. But she was determined to follow the Lord. She was determined to please God. And so she went to Africa. She was single. This is what she told the Lord. She says, God, I don't want to get married because how can I be married and love the same man? How do I know I will stay with him for the rest of my life? Back in the days, that's different. There was not many divorces back in the days. But this is what she said. She says, Lord, I don't want to get married. I'll give you my life. She went. She's a beautiful woman. She went to Africa alone to serve God. She became a nurse in those 6 years because this is what women did back then, either a teacher or a nurse. So she went to Africa, and there she met this amazing young man. He was very handsome, my dad. He's a preacher in the jungles. And so, you know, the rest of the story, they got married and how the Lord led them. My dad went to Bible school in England for 2 years and was engaged twice. But he had to break it off. You know why? Because he told a young woman, the first one was British, and he said, I'm going to Africa. Mm-hmm. And he says, I want you to know if you marry me, you'll have to come to Africa with me. And they didn't want to. This first one didn't. The second one again, let him wait, didn't give a response because he went back to Africa. That was his call. He made sure she knew that. You make sure whoever you will marry, young woman or young man, you share your heart or your call with the person before you get married. Because it is a life of sacrifice. It is not our will to be done, but his will to be done. It is so important. Otherwise, you'll be miserable for the rest of your life. So, moving right along. My parents got married, and they went through a lot. They had the revelation. They got together when they met, and they were so excited because they saw there was a change in the movement for missions. It was not like the mission stations anymore. And they had never heard of this before. I mean, you just didn't change that. But they said, there's something else happening. We need to do something different. And my grandfather was not in agreement with that. So they left. The Lord took them out and brought them to the Congo, French Congo, Brazzaville first. And there they had two children. And I was sick. I was dying with leukemia and Hodgkin's disease. And back in 62, I'm 53 today, but back in 62, those little babies were not, there was no cure. We're dying. And my mother knew. She had taken care of some of these little babies back in Holland. And they gave me the treatment at home because they couldn't afford the treatment in the hospital. So my mother, being a nurse, was able to give the treatment. And my dad, you know, they were preaching the word of God. And one day, my mom says, it's almost the end. And she could feel, apparently, all the glands were swollen everywhere. And something to do, she saw some signs, and she says, she's going to be gone soon. And so that night, they didn't give medicine. And although they believed in medicine, absolutely. But they saw it was nothing. It was finished. And so they said to the Lord, Lord, they prayed. This is where their faith was at. And they prayed, and they said, Lord, either you take her or you heal her. But we don't want her to suffer anymore. Do something tonight. But this is what my dad said. But God, I will remind you that if you take her for the rest of my life, I will preach that you are the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And did you have not changed? So that was his covenant with God. And they prayed and went to bed. And it was the first night in a month that they could sleep through the night. Next morning, they wake up and they're like, my mom says, she's gone. She's gone. Because I didn't cry. They went to the little bed. All the glands were all normal. No inflammation. I was sleeping there. And they went to the doctor because the doctor wanted to see me. And the doctor says, okay, this is not her because I have a 16-month older sister. He says, are you sure that's the one? That's the blood of that one, you know? And they said, yes. He says, well, how do you explain this? And with tears, she was carrying me on her lap. With tears, she said, doctor, Jesus healed her. And from that point, they heard the testimony back in Leopoldville, which is Kinshasa today. They had to cross the big Congo River to get there. My dad was holding meetings because the message of Pentecost, they used to call it, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit and healing, had not reached that region. The Swedish were up north. No, the Americans were up north, Pentecostal, and the British were in the south. And back then, they divided the missions according to the country. Isn't that interesting, huh? And so I'm telling you, you can learn a lot about missions back then, but it was very different. It was not like, well, I pick a country. No, 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 you're respected. If the Americans were there, the British wouldn't go there. And so my dad knew to go in that region, the center of Congo. And so he knew he had to go, but they were killing missionaries. A John Tucker, Assembly of God missionary in the north, was killed and his body thrown to the crocodiles in front of his family. the rebels were there. It was independence. They hated the whites, the Belgian. What the Belgian did was horrible. And you can understand, it was awful. Even King Leopold, what he did and used the riches of the Congo and enslaved the Africans there, it was horrible. So when they got their independence, you know, they were after the whites. Or, you know, it was some bad groups, bad spirits went around. And so they were killing the missionaries because everybody was in the same sack for them. And so the Assemblies of God of France says, if you go there, we will not support you. My mother says, we need to go. And so my dad went to France and talked to two men, missionaries, British missionaries from the Congo. He shared his heart. And one of them was Smith Wigglesworth's son-in-law, Salter. I think it was his name was Salter. He was in the south of Congo. And they looked at my dad and said, go, because we have prayed for the message of Pentecost to go in that region. Hallelujah. Every missionary that has gone beforehand is because people have prayed. Because you have prayed. Your prayers are not in vain when you pray for different parts of the world. Because then God will be able to move. We'll be able to call and equip a person or people. And we'll be able to move him in these places. And that touched me so much when my dad said that. I'm like, oh my. You mean they prayed for that region? More than my parents moved to the Congo, Belgian Congo at the time. They took the last ferry. My mom, my dad was going to go ahead of time. Because he said, I will go find a place and then we'll bring the little girls, three little girls. And my mom says, no, I'm going with you. I will not stay here. She left. It was the last ferry they could take. In 4 years, the country was closed because the Chinese communists moved in. Nobody could go in and out. And from that point on, I'm telling you, I grew up seeing masses of campaigns. I don't like crusade, the name crusade. It reminds me of bad things. I say campaigns. Evangelistic campaigns, gospel campaigns, huge. They had a little platform, a small loudspeaker. And my mother said, I will work. She worked in the Danish hospital there, made money. This is how they were able to survive, and with no support from the exterior. And my dad was just planting churches and planting churches. And I remember as a little girl, my mom says, we need to bring the girls. My dad did not want to bring us because it was that the rebels were around. It was bad. All the white people were not secure. We even had a Swiss flag. Oh, by the way, my dad is Swiss. So we had Swiss flags in front of our house so they knew we were not Belgians. And we did. And we had a paper from the embassy to say that we declare that these, you know, the name Swiss or whatever. But anyways, those times were very different, dangerous times. And so my dad did not want to take the family. My mom says, they need to see the signs and the miracles that Jesus is doing because it's not all the time that you get to see that. There are moves and seasons of signs and wonders. And that was the move back then in the early 60s. In 65, January 65, they moved to Kinshasa, Leopoldville at the time, the Belgian Congo. And this is when amazing move of God. I am telling you, it was amazing. We got to be there. Many times, and my mother said when she would bring us little kids, it's amazing how children were being healed. Because it seems like people's faith were edified just to see other children. There was something about it. And so this is how I grew up. My dad was gone many, many, many times because his call was to plant churches. He would go for 2-3 months at a time with no news. He went to the interior. He was the type of missionary that would, if he had to, he would walk. He started walking back in Gabon. This is how he walked from village to village to preach the gospel with a machete. The African guys that he was training for ministry would follow him. He was just with them. He would eat with them. He would sleep in the same hut. He did everything. He cooked. He was a bushman. He really was. And very distinguished bushman, though. But, you know, but he lived amongst them. He had a way with people. He would make them comfortable. He knew their language. And this is how we did it. As soon as he had a car, he went with his four-wheel drive. He would go for months, for weeks. We did not know where he was. There was no cell phone, nothing, no telephones. But we knew he was planting a church. He would plant the tent with a few other Africans and say, "We're going to be there every night. You come. We have good news to tell you." And so they all come. You know, there's a white man preaching a tent. You know, it attracts people. They would come. And every night they'd preach the gospel for a month. And then they establish a church. They'd baptize the people. And there was a church. And he did that so many times. We don't even know how many times. We would ask him, "Papa, how many churches did you start?" He never said. Oh, I don't know. That's the type of person he was. I don't know. So we told him to write a book. He was starting to write a book, but he didn't finish it. So now we have to finish it for him. But the thing is, he wrote everything down. We have agendas of everything. Even when he did an oil change with his car. What car? Everything, everything, everything. That's how he was. So we have it now. So we have a lot of work to be done. But anyways, we saw, it was not always easy to grow up in the Congo. Oh my, how much time do I have? Okay, 5 minutes. It was not always easy. But you know what? There's great recompense to follow the Lord. There's great recompense. And I saw it through my parents, how they lived. How they changed with the times, how we need to change. You know, we can't get stuck to one thing. And we see things change because this is how the seasons are changing. Not God does not change, but there are seasons that change. And we need to go along with the seasons. Now, for missions, you know, it's good to be aware of what's happening. It's good to know what's out there. It's good to take, you know, to go to the mission field and see what's happening. And then ask God to give you a heart. Start praying for missions. Start praying, being led by the Spirit. Not everybody goes on the mission field, no. You know, but we each need to be led by the Spirit. We need to be in the position that God gives us. This is why it's going to be a sacrifice, because we're going to say, "Lord, not my will, but your will." Always say that every day. And so this is how the Lord was able to use my parents. I mean, my dad started a church in 85 and stayed the pastor of that church. It was a French-speaking church in the capital city. And it became the church of the Congo. If you ask, anybody Congolese here? No? Okay. If you ask a Congolese about La Borne Church or Jacques Vernot, they know him. Everybody. Oh, yeah, yeah. They'll say, "Oh, that's my church." They like to say that because it's good. It looks good, you know. I mean, it is a well-known church. He's left an amazing legacy there. Many churches everywhere. And then in the city, over 100 churches. And then when he started a church in 85, from that church actually did not grow because they multiplied. It's about 10 to 13,000 member church. But every time they would start a church there, they say, "We started a church here in the other side of the city. If you live there, you can go there." And so from that church, since 85, they started about around 70 churches, okay? And so my dad's call was to start churches, to train young men and young women, to train for ministry. That he was consumed. "Oh, we need to start a work there. We need to start a work there. We need to start." He had a lot of vision, and he had also the vision to reach the Congo River. He had bought a boat twice, and it sank down because he gave it to local people, and they didn't do anything about it. It didn't sink. So that vision, he made a, an architect put a plan together for a boat, a barge, because it's very low. And so we're going to do this. We're going to go to the Congo. And we're going to finish the vision. We're going to fulfill the call. The vision of the boat, have you heard of Mercy Boat that goes from coast to coast? Well, this is going to be a same principle, but it's going to go in the river. You need a different type of boat. So we're going to have the medical doctor. My brother-in-law is a medical doctor. He took this vision in his heart. They're in Senegal, by the way, in West Africa. And they're missionaries there, and they go to the Congo a lot. And he took that in his heart. He says, it's burning inside of him. And so we're going to have the medical doctor, him. My sister's a nurse. Hallelujah. I'm the preacher. I can't wait to go on that boat. I can't wait to do this. And they're going to have education for the people. They said that the people alongside the river, big river Congo, are hungry, no education, they have nothing, and on reach. I'm like, oh my, nowadays, they have nothing. So we're going to do that. I have 5 boys. I know they're called. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Philip and Aaron, they want to go to the Congo. They're going to be trained and being led by the Spirit. I mean, he's told me this. I never told him this. He told me all the time. This is what he told Aaron before they got married. He says, you know, I'm going to the Congo, right? Did he say that, Aaron? Yeah, he did. Woo, glory. He had a good example. Hallelujah. You know, this is about following God, following the Lord, fulfilling our call. And I'm saying all this to you to inspire you. That's all. You have your call, and your call is so important. But we have to be obedient to the call of God, because we're going to stand one day before God, and he's going to say, what did you do with what I told you to do? Well, God, I couldn't. Or I didn't have enough money. Well, I wasn't trained. Now, we have no excuse. My dad never gone to a real school. He felt so underdeveloped. I said, Papa, the disciples, they did not know much, but they had Jesus. And he knew how to talk. Oh my, he was very eloquent. He was an amazing speaker, preacher. He was like a real old-time preacher. He was amazing. You couldn't tell he never went to school. I mean, you know, he was homeschooled, but he had a complex about that. You know what? Whatever. God used him. Why? Because he said, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. He knew God was bigger. He didn't have word of faith like we do, you know? No, we did not. But I'm telling you, he knew his God. Oh, my, did he know his God. And we know our God. We have to develop our relationship, and we need to do what God has called us to do. No matter what it is in business, dream big with God, but be willing to lay it aside. Every day, just say it. Every day, this should be our prayer. Lord, not my will, but your will. And so the work is going on in the Congo. The work is going on in Brussels. We were there for 24 years. It was not easy. You know, Brussels is the seat of Antichrist real soon. It's setting up. It's being set up for the Antichrist, for the end times. There are many things that we need to pray for Brussels. We were there for 24 years. We left now. But this is one thing the Lord said. It was not in vain, and we'll be rewarded for what we've done. All the prayers that were there. All the work. And now we've heard of a preacher. I guess I can say it. Keith Butler is going to go start a church there. Yes, hallelujah. So you see, we work, and then we're moving on to other assignments in God. And then he's going to go on. It's God's work. It's not ours. You know, everybody needs to be led by the Spirit of God. But Brussels was an amazing place. I thought I'd be there for the rest of my life. Well, I didn't really think so, but I kind of knew that I would end up in Congo one day. And it's happening now, but in Brussels, it was interesting to raise 5 boys there, and I could tell you stories about trusting God. We didn't have a Christian school, and I remember when Philip was 3 years old, and they put the kids at 2.5 years old to starting school, and I told Billy, Mrs. Billy Brim, she was with us, and I said, Billy, how can I put my kids in these schools? You think your schools are bad? Go over there. I mean, it's like failure mentality. 50% of the kids redo their grade. It's like normal, right, Philip? We're not going to say how many times it happened. But it's normal. It happened to me. I finished when I was 20. Here, you finish at 17 or 18. No, over there, you know, if you fail a class, the whole grade is failed. I mean, this is how they're very failure mentality. It's like, oh, my. So 50% of the kids, they're not dumb. They're very bright, right? I mean, you know, you've seen some of those. And so I told Billy, I said, what am I going to do? I am not a homeschool person. No way. And so this is what she said. This is what she said. She said, think about Moses. Moses grew up with the worst idolaters of his time. Ooh, hallelujah. And look how God used him. So glory to God. We don't need to fear about our kids. Of course, you can do the best you can. Be led by the Spirit. But God is God. We train them. God has a hand on our kids. He will use them. Look how he used Moses. Well, glory to God. It was not very easy to be over there. I remember when the boys had to, they were Americans and Swiss. They're dual citizens. Two passports, Swiss and American. But, they were kind of almost spit on when they heard that they were Americans because they were against the Iraq War, Bush. Oh, my. They had their opinions over there, and they said it. But, God is God, and we're the light of the world, in the world, the light of God in the world. And, it's good to be in the right place at the right time. It's good to just lay our lives before God and say, Lord, we're going to do your will. We're going to do what you desire. Amen. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to do this every day? Every day, just lift it up to the Lord and say, Lord, your will be done, not my will. Pray every day. Have your time with God. Develop your relationship with the Lord so that the time will come that you will need to make decisions. You will know what to do. And usually we're led unconsciously when we keep telling him, Lord, do what you desire. Amen? Because eternity is before us. And this is what my dad always used to tell me. He says, you know what? It's about eternity. It's about the harvest. It's about the plan of God. So hallelujah. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your stories of missions, and it just blesses my heart and the work that you're doing and your dad did and your whole family is going to do. Now, when are you going to the Congo?
October 12th.
So
well, far, we'll see.
This is what I would like to do. If your heart is to give to reach the Congo, let's go ahead and we'll pass out offering. We're not going to take up another offering this morning. But what I would like you to do is just get the envelopes. Good. Make sure everybody has one. I don't care. Kids, whoever. And write the word Congo on it. And then next Sunday, why don't you pray about what you're led to do and what you're led and able to do. Write Congo on there. We're going to give an honorarium no matter what. But what I would love to do is support the work that is going to be going on there. And I love it.